Question 50. Can ye drink of the cup? Mark 10:38. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? Matthew 20:22. They say unto him, We are able. James and John and their mother approached Jesus to request that he exalt them to power in the kingdom he was to establish. They had no idea what this kingdom was, where it was to be, or the political structure of it, yet they knew they wanted to be heads of state in it. This behavior is more typical of children than adults. Jesus was quick to point out that there's a price tag attached to this seat of office. This price tag lists two items. Jesus called them the cup and the baptism. These two may be viewed as that which is served to us and we take into ourselves, the cup, and that into which we are immersed, overwhelmed, and ultimately overcome, the baptism. The cup of the Lord is mentioned throughout the Old Testament. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red, and it is full of mixture, and he poureth out of the same, but the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth, shall wring them out and drink them. Psalm 75:8. Even until the revelation of Christ, this cup of wrath is mentioned. It says in Revelation 14:10, The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. This cup is judgment. It's the fury of God felt by those who ignore, disobey, and reject the reign of God in their lives. The stiff-necked and rebellious, the proud and haughty, will all taste of the cup of God's wrath. Jesus was expecting the service of this cup the night he prayed in the garden. He was about to take unto himself the very thing that would separate him from God, his Father. This cup of judgment was prepared for us and then set aside for Jesus as Messiah and Redeemer to lift and drink for us. Jesus knew that the deliverer of this cup would be the ancient enemy of God. He always is. He, working through his sons here on the earth, crucified Christ and thereby made a way for us to enter the kingdom of God. A mystery, a plan not then revealed to the sons of Belial, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Unknowingly, the prince of this world also opens the gates of splendor for Christ followers as well, through death, persecution, and martyrdom. A delicious irony indeed. Jesus also knew that this cup of hatred and loathing handed to him by the princes of this world would be waiting for those who profess his name afterward. He warned, If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? This is why Jesus had no reservation in saying that they would surely drink his cup. The baptism is the same contents of the cup, only it is total immersion, the flooding over and overcoming. Not all of us experience this. This is, in short, severe persecution or martyr's death. There was a time when this was nearly unavoidable and proved to be inescapable to nearly all of Christ's disciples. So Jesus was not just loosely warning them. He was promising them it would be a factor in their future. Martyrdom is considered the height of spiritual achievement, but only by those who treasure their lives on this earth. The martyr's loyalty lies elsewhere. The martyr's value of his life is skewed by his view of eternity. Those who do not have goals beyond the life in which they presently find themselves do not hold to their faith through martyrdom. They usually escape death through compromise. But the faith of the martyrs is precious in God's sight. As their appearance at the fifth seal shows in Revelation 6, the martyrs will play an important role in the key events of the apocalypse. All this notwithstanding, we need to ask ourselves, can we drink of the cup? If there were a threat outside our meeting house doors of torture and death, this question would carry a heavier meaning. The threat is not there, and because it is not there, it makes the thought a hypocritical one, and unfortunately easier to answer in the affirmative. However, we need to consider our walk with God and our relationship's value to us. Are you willing to drink of that cup? Are you willing to go down under the fiery baptism of a martyr's death? The other question we should ask ourselves is, if we're living in such a way so as to cause this cup of hatred of which Jesus spoke to be served to us. Persecution does wait at the door, but not for everyone. Persecution, segregation, banishment, and hatred await all who live godly in Christ Jesus, so says 2 Timothy 3:12. Many of us, however, cannot be distinguished from anyone else, and therefore don't feel persecution at all. Our lives should be loudspeakers that proclaim our allegiance and loyalty. This isn't accomplished by making ourselves conspicuous spectacles or oddities, but by the pure testimony and conduct of our lives. Unfortunately, as it is said, if being Christian was illegal, many of us would be acquitted for lack of evidence. You need not consider if you'll be asked for that ultimate sacrifice. The question the Lord asks is, can you, or are you able? Your ability is not established by determination, but in preparation. A life lived for Christ, with few reservations for the flesh, few considerations for self and comfort, brings a life into a state of ultimate preparedness. It's by small, nearly invisible sutures that stitches your life and hopes to this world under your feet. Reserving yourself, holding back for comforts and desires, making provision for fears, making provisos and caveats to protect yourself, will eventually transform you into a coward. You may find it ever increasingly difficult to let go of your self-made protections and become stymied when your dependence upon God becomes more difficult. You may have thought that if you worked a little more or had a few more things or made yourself a little more comfortable, you could be in better shape to serve God. But sadly, you'll find that the opposite is true. You're no closer to a full surrender now than you ever were. Though you might be a little richer, perhaps a little more secure, you may find that you've spent a miserable life only pursuing a miserable life and have gained little ground inside the kingdom of God. Many can't even imagine the death of martyrdom. Even of those who may consider it a noble way to die, few are prepared. Though it is not your desire to seek a martyr's death, if your life were lived in a way that is pleasing to God, martyrdom would become a part of the equation of your life as easily as any other facet of Christian service. The problem is preparation. For as distasteful as martyrdom is, it's much easier to find those willing to die for Christ than it is to find those willing to live for Him. Can ye drink of the cup?